The GAA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GAA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
But these fellas, they get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
Five goals, Conan, 30 points, extra time, red card, black cards, Geezer's first win in Ulster. Armagh had it won, they had it lost, they had it won again and almost lost it again. How about that for a little summation of the Ulster Championship is the new Munster Hurling Championship.
Yeah, it's a gift from the gods, as they're calling it. Yeah, it's burning. Thank God for the BBC for showing these games. Like, yeah. You know, the Derry Tyrone game was nowhere near as good as this, but it was still a decent battle. And then you had this. Like, imagine this wasn't showing. I saw a lot of people giving out when they saw it was going to extra time. It's like, oh, good job, RT. Like, you know, there's a cracker going on up here and we can't watch it.
It would have been a shame. It would have been a shame if BBC hadn't been showing it. So at least we got to see it. So we can be thankful to the BBC for that. Yeah, and people complaining that, oh, well, Waterford and Tipperary wasn't very good or whatever, but like, I mean, 4 weeks ago when they were choosing their games, they wouldn't have known. Just hindsight stuff. But look, we got to see it again. 7 o'clock when you watch two hurlings and then you've got a football to sit through. I've gassed out towards the end of it. Like, I mean, it was great. Thank God it was kind of exciting, or it would have been completely gassed out altogether. But like, I mean, the Caelan Mooney sending off. Aaron Kernan's going to join us on the show. It's just me and you here for the top of the show. Aaron's going to join us to talk about this. He was at this in Newry, and we'll talk about this a bit more tactically in part two. But Caelan Mooney sending off. I don't think it was a sending off. I think it was very unlucky. I can see why the ref sent him off. Came across to shoulder him. And the number 10 for Armagh, what's his name? His name escapes me. Aidan Nugent stepped inside him. And he kind of caught his head off his shoulder. You know, he had his arms wide out. And as he was turning in, he caught his head off his shoulder. And like, I don't know, what can Caelan do at that stage? He had pulled out of the tackle and had his arms out by the side. If another fella Nugent sidesteps into you then and comes across your body, I don't know. I think Caelan came across to take him out until the sidestep, and then he's in big trouble when he sidesteps in. But it looked like a sending off on first viewing, and then I was thinking, geez, maybe he's a bit unlucky.
Did he fling his shoulder sort of towards him even after the sidestep? You were just to try and leave a bit on him? Not saying that he meant to do it in his cheek or anything.
It's a
like
weird
that.
One if you just put your shoulder forward to catch someone in the face. It's an unorthodox kind of foul. You know?
I think though, when you're being, I've been there loads of times, when you're about to be sidestep, you sort of do anything to try and just
to
get
make sure
something on him.
Yeah.
Because all you're being shouted at is contact on, and the worst thing is that someone sidesteps you and you don't even get a hand on him, like, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and he got him in the face maybe, and that's it.
Kevin McStay was good on the Sunday game. He was saying that he thinks it's on Caelan to sort of not hit him up the face, like, you know.
Can't pull out of that. I suppose if it's just timing, because there's impossible at that split second when someone sidesteps towards you to be able to catch them, like a boxer finds it hard with his timing to catch somebody right in the face. So he caught him straight in the face. I don't think that was his intention. I think it was definitely to get contact and make sure he wasn't coming inside. First he was lining up for the shoulder, and then it was hands out to make sure he can't get in. And it's just very unfortunate. Now, we have said on the show before that you can still hurt somebody and be unfortunate and have no intent.
Yeah.
I don't think there was too much wrong. Look, maybe you're kind of going, yeah, it's the kind of, that'll ruin the game now. He was playing really well, and, you know, that kind of way. So I don't know. I would have left him off with a... I think if he got a yellow there, no one would have batted an eyelid.
I agree. It's just, yeah, and I don't think it was intentional. I suppose it's just a question now if you wanted to start stamping that stuff out a bit more. Like, you know, if...
You don't want to take contact out of the game.
No,
you can't be terrified not to do that. You know, you can't be. You can't be terrified.
But should you be, like, you know, because that, you know, that could just be a worse injury, say, like, if you just catch someone in the head.
Then we're going down the line of soccer.
No, but just don't hit them in the head. Like, you know, hit them in the...
I don't think he meant to hit him in the head.
No, I know.
He has to put his hands out to get that contact on. Like, if we go down the road of soccer where you're actually jumping out of a lad's way because you're afraid of the contact, that's just going to be a farce of a game. The other night I was playing Masters football and a fellow went down injured and all the players start saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, I know this is Masters and I'm not comparing it. And I says, what's it? The referee blew the play up. This fella had tripped over the ball and had gone over his ankle and was lying down on the ground. I said, you can't stop the play for that. I said, we're on the attack. It's not soccer. you don't just pull it back whenever you decide to pull it back. Now, I'm not comparing it again, but I'm just using the example of we can't go down the road of soccer and be afraid. Kevin McStay was completely wrong to say something like that. It's on Caelan Mooney to what? Jump out of his way.
No, but did not hit him in the face. Like, you know, I still think...
Again, I said I don't think he meant to do that.
No, so. I don't think he did either, but I don't think that's a reason to sort of, you know, turn a blind eye to it. Like, it's not the contact we want. We want the contact on the chest. But yeah. Sometimes you're beaten and you have to accept that and sort of readjust yourself or hope another defender comes in.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can just throw whatever you want. And it didn't mean to, but... You know, the reckless and the sort of desperation of it, it means you can catch people in the face.
Okay,
well.
We could do a whole show on this incident. No red for me, a yellow. A yellow and a strong warning. But then Mooney had lost the plot a little bit then.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Holy shit, it was like two gangs fighting. He was like, he completely lost his mind.
You're egging them on? Come on.
That was like lost all control. I'd never seen Caelan like that before. I don't think he's that type of player. But I just remember we were talking last Thursday about these two teams do not like each other very much. And that was so obvious, like, I mean, for someone like him to be sent up, back in on the field, getting involved, and then all the trash talking from a distance, like, come on down here.
I don't know what he was saying, come on, originally, and then he started like doing a sub thing, and maybe he was telling somebody you need to get off or something like that.
In fairness, that was funny. I found it funny because there was nothing major in it. Now, Geezer could be in trouble for coming on and throwing the shoulder at Kevin McKernan. Like, there's no excuse for that. We can't, because he liked Geezer, we cannot accept that, a mentor getting involved with players. And he came on, he trash talked one down player, and it looked a little bit, you know, just a bit of kind of trash talking or whatever. But he shouldered Kevin McKernan on the way back.
Yeah.
You can't do that as a manager. You cannot come on and get involved with players. And Geezer can get embroiled in these things. I've seen him doing it before. He got involved with me before in a challenge game with Kildare where I was having a bit of a row with a Kildare player, and he was right in on the field getting involved in that. It's like, go back there. You don't need to be involved in this. So he could be in trouble for that shoulder. Like Davy Fitz got 8 weeks for something very, very similar.
Was it 12 that Davy Fitz
got? Was it 12,
like,
yeah.
And like, yeah, Kieran McGinney's been banned for 12 weeks before and been pulled up for a couple of other things. I don't know, like, what is the need for that? Like, the only thing I can think of was that Armagh had obviously thrown the game away. They were 5 points up, home and hosed. Maybe he just thought they needed a reaction, and I'll take one for the team here, because it was a...
Well, that's what Davey said he went on for that time. Remember?
Yeah.
He said he needed it. I don't think they're thinking like that.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he just thought they needed a bit of fire under the belly. Like, you know, because
I think he was just really pissed off.
But it was a really tame shoulder, wasn't it? But it's just like the sort of thing that escalates everything, you know? So it seemed like he wasn't trying to do McKernan. You know, so it was like a point in the shoulder in that sense, but was he just trying to get a reaction? Because when a manager does it, everybody gets involved.
You could say that because Geezer was walking this way, McKernan was walking this way, and neither wanted to step away from each other, and they just, he could get off with that. Do you know what I mean? But still, for Geezer being the manager, should have turned his body to the side like that. That's the right thing to do from a manager's point of view. Did you see James Morgan when he came on? So
that was brilliant.
He came on and he gave Donal O'Hare a little dunt into the back, and then Donal O'Hare took out his glove and threw it away. Did you see that?
It was unbelievable.
Did you hear the commentator in the second half? They're cousins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, maybe I've got this wrong now, but I'm nearly sure
in the second half
that James Morgan and Donal O'Hare are cousins.
And he knows he loves his gloves.
He needs his gloves. And then it got me thinking with James Morgan, like, who does that anymore? It's so old school. You don't plant your gloves in your togs, do you? Yeah.
I started doing it again because I see Brian Cullen does it. I thought I looked really cool.
He does it.
I started copying him.
It's a fashion thing. I've tried to do it, but I just become so preoccupied with losing one of them. I'm not thinking about the game. It's just like, that just does not work psychologically for me. Just give it at intercounty level. You beckon to the sideline and you've got your gloves within seconds.
Wear them or not.
You don't need them inside your hand. Donal O'Hare picked one out and flung it away. And the funny thing was, Morgan didn't go looking
didn't
for
have
it.
A clue. Did he know it was gone though?
I don't know.
Because he was in the vicinity for a while. I was looking at this glove then for ages going, come on, pick it up. I was sort of nervous for him.
You'll never find that way.
But I have to say, it was a brilliant move from O'Hare. Like, we always talk about shithousery and stuff, but that was a real, like, what a class sort of thing. Because if it starts raining, your man's in trouble.
Oh, yeah. No, I enjoyed that. Move. I enjoyed that. He should have just walked on it then after throwing it out. He should have done a little dance on it. That'd be it. Clear, I'm going to make a big call here. Andrew Murnan didn't mean the goal. Discuss.
Ooh. That's
we'll ask Aaron. We'll ask Aaron. The reason I don't think he meant it is because he punched up. Now, if you punch up, you're adding to that to put it over the bar.
I think he tried to put it over the bar.
I think he tried to go for goal. It was a draw match at that time, right? Did that put him three up, and then Rian O'Neill put them four up? So he's putting him a point up in a really close game. Like, there's no way when you're punching up, can you deflect? If you're deflecting the ball into the corner like that, you're knocking it like this. You're not just... He fisted straight up in the air.
Did he know how far he was out there? Because he wasn't on top.
And anyways, any full forward who knew where he was, why didn't he catch that ball? Like, I mean, that was weird. That was not easy to do what he did. That's why I think it was a fluke.
I think he meant to go. I don't think he meant to put it in the top corner like he did, but I think he just got a good connection. I thought he was going to catch it, but it was too far gone, so he just threw a fist at it and got a good connection with it. And I think he probably assumed the keeper was closer to him, so it would just drop in anywhere. And I think he got a bit lucky with the fact that it landed in the top corner.
Well, he got very lucky. He went in off the post. Like, it looked like to me that it just deflected off his hand. You know, he didn't put a direction on that at all.
Yeah. So you think he's going for the point?
I think he was going for the point, but I will accept someone telling me he was going for a goal, but absolutely didn't mean to put it over there.
Yeah.
Okay, that might be a compromise, but I'm going to stick to my guns. Saturday night, Cavan had the first win over Monaghan in 32 years on home soil. Big talking point out of this one was the Cavan penalty. Talk Kevin Maxday had a bit of a shocker on the Sunday game. I watched this morning. He was saying that this was a penalty. It was not a penalty at all. Like, I mean, again, this starts to get on my nerves, this soccer analysis. Oh, he had his hand in his back or his contact. Yeah. Bullshit. It wasn't enough. He only fell, and it was Murray, was it?
Yeah.
That went down. He actually left the leg out soccer style to get contact on Began.
He actually brought it back, sort of hoping it would hit Began.
We can't let this seep in, Conan. This is really getting on my nerves now, because we can't have BBC match of the day, Gary Lineker style, oh, I'm a hipster, oh, there was contact on that, I'm right. Bullshit. Bullshit. Yeah. There has to be a push. And Brian Gavin was in the Examiner today, and he was absolutely right. Ex-referee says, Ryan Wiley may have had a hand on Conor Madden's back, but I don't believe he pushed him. Now, there's a complete difference to being pushed.
Yeah.
Madden went over and tried to buy the penalty. On first viewing, everybody thought that it was for against Began, and the referee said it was against Wiley. Absolutely no penalty.
Yeah, I think
we're all agreed on that one.
Yeah, first view and second view and third view, and I don't think people would have even noticed Wiley was involved in this. Like, you know, I was just watching Began and seeing, like Murray dropped the ball, you know, and then that's what we were all looking at. He dropped the ball, hit off Began's leg, and then he seemed to try to react to the drop ball, as you do. Like, not that you dive, but you're sort of desperate then at this stage, so he's fallen over. He probably has fallen over Began in a sense, that he sees him coming, but then he leaves his leg in to try and sort of simulate
Left the leg in, which was a real... I don't blame him for leaving the leg in. Like, your desperation, you're going to try and win the penalty, but, like, I mean, it wasn't a penalty, just full stop.
I don't see what Wiley was doing. I don't know how involved he was in that. I can't see how he would be in any way sort of guilty for a penalty there. Like, you know, you are allowed to contact and the hand on the back and all that, but I don't think he was sort of encouraging him to fall over in any way.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And the big feel-good story was Oisin Kiernan, who had testicular cancer and had his last chemotherapy on February the 4th. And he trained away during chemotherapy, which is incredible kind of stuff. He said, it didn't have much effect on me, so I trained away. I just took it as it came. The hair started to fall out, obviously, but I kept training away just as I could. Once I got the last chemo session done in February, I went flat out and got the all clear in March. So it's all good since then. So that's fantastic to hear that. Again, we'll talk a little bit more about how good Cavan were in part two. So congratulations to Oisin Kiernan, and it's great to see him make a comeback like that. Raymond Galligan, we talked about him last Thursday about being beckoned up for the frees. Well, I don't think he'd be beckoned up much more. He had a nightmare on the frees. His kickouts were decent when he went short, but geez, he didn't look like much of a free taker to me.
Yeah, goalkeepers seem to get away with a bad ratio more than forwards, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, I know they're hitting longer range ones most of the time, but they seem to be excused these awful percentages. Like, and surely, like, you're looking at Murray Riley there, the way he's pinging balls and the way he hit the penalty home. Like, surely there's somebody there who could just be slotting the freeze over.
I think so as well. I think so. It is Conor Mina. He can take freeze too, maybe. But Jase Galligan didn't look like he was very good at them anyways. Monaghan brought on Conor McCarthy. We talked about the dynamic of the Monaghan forward line, and it was a surprise to a lot of people to see him on the bench. But apparently he was doing exams in UCD earlier that day, and he got a helicopter up from UCD up to Breffni Park. So, like, I mean, that's just not the preparation you want. He looked lively enough. Like, I remember before an under-21 All-Ireland, we played Kerry down in the Gaelic grounds in Limerick, and our wing back Niall Collins was in UCD as well, and he was doing exams and he got a helicopter down, and he ended up, like, he was having a good year up until that point. He got roasted in the final, and it just kind of stuck in my head. Just write it off. If you can't be able to do both. Because even psychologically, like, I mean, if you've got important college exams, you can't just click that off and then tune into a match while sitting in a helicopter or something. It's not like you do that every day. It's just too much emotion in one day, I suppose.
And you're up late the night before, probably studying. And
then the distraction to your teammates. Oh, is he going to get up in time in the helicopter? Is he going to be able to come on? Yeah. What kind of shape is he in? It's a distraction for everybody.
Dermot Malone looking around to see if he can hear a helicopter sound. Am I coming off here soon?
It's true, though. It's like, I mean, I don't know. I just think it's a major distraction all around. Yeah. I don't think you need it. And like, they were well stocked in the forward department anyways. I would have left Connor, do your exams, and that's it. Look, you've got your focus there. I don't think it's possible for you to be focused on the game and leave him do them.
It's a shame the exams were on a Saturday. Like, you know, it's a real sort of, I don't know, an anomaly maybe. But I don't know about you, but when I play a game, it sort of just takes over my life for that 2 days period, like the day of the game and the day before the game, and you're trying to get everything right, and you're worried about what you're eating, and all you're thinking about is the game. Like, you know, I don't know how then you can throw important exams in on top of that.
Yeah, well, I don't think you can, because mentally you can't prepare for the match until you're sitting in a helicopter, which is just too much fun. Yeah. Wait till we get down and I'll start thinking about it then.
Imagine that excuse trying to wash with a club manager. Do you want to play senior football or not?
Right, so bad news for you. Kieran Molloy went off with what looks like a really bad injury, so I presume you were all over that. Good news for Galway is that Killian McDade came on, so maybe there's a straight swap in the attacking wing back department. Armand Martin Farraher, who we champion on this show, who we think is pure tasty, pure top class forward, came on in the 66th minute and managed 1-1. How do you do that?
What more do you need?
So he's put his hand up, so he got that lovely goal, a lovely, really relaxed, kind of nonchalant tap into the corner, which, while you're running with the ball, I don't find that technique all that easy. And then he kind of just pulled, fly kicked on a ball to get 1-1. 1-1 in 6 minutes. We'd be lucky to get that in a season, Conor. All right, we'll be back with Aaron Kernan.
He goes, if you boys are doing God's work, you can do whatever you want in the field. My kind of, for me, that was a free pass.
So when you say Mickey takes it to another level, what will he be doing this week?
An extra decade of the rosary.
You know, Tyrone are queer hawks in the final, and a hawk is a queer bird. We've got the world tonight. Let's hold on.
Aaron Kernan, how's it going?
All good, Colin.
Settle a bet for us here, Aaron. Myself and Conan were arguing about whether Andrew Murnan meant the goal or not. So I thought that he punched up in the air, which made me think he was trying to stick it over the bar. Conan thinks he was going for a goal but wasn't going for the corner that he got it in. What's your thoughts on it?
No, absolutely. Knowing Andrew and having seen how effective he is for Armagh, he had only one thing in mind, and that was goal. In terms of putting it right into the top corner, that the keeper had no chance. I don't think he meant that, but no, definitely it needed a goal at that stage, and it was a perfectly weighted ball into him. And I just think he'd have seen the opportunity to get a 3-pointer out of it, and thankfully for Armagh supporters, it went in.
Yeah, why didn't he catch it?
He probably had time, but he couldn't see where the goalkeeper was behind him. I'm sure maybe he wasn't sure whether the keeper was rushing out on him. In fairness, that Conor Poland had literally just come on. Conor had a great game in the middle of the field. He wouldn't be a full back at all, but he literally was just on the field and he was marking from in front. And I just think it was just instinctive. He just felt that the opportunity was on. He didn't know what was happening behind him. He didn't know what the picture was behind him, and he just decided to get a glance on it and flick it on. And he said it was just it just added to the whole game again. You know, it was just another twist in it, and swung the game right back in our favour. Because to be honest with you, I'm not sure we would have won the game on points alone. We definitely needed that goal, and it just sort of kicked Armagh on straight after it. But just brilliant piece of foes. Individual brains and cleverness from Andrew, and it was just brilliant to see him back in the field from an Armagh perspective.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. So, like, I mean, it must have been a crazy game to be at, was it? Like, I mean, Martin McHugh was saying in the co-commentary that the crowd was a little bit subdued in the first half, and that might have been fair enough, because the Down played with an awful lot of men behind the ball, almost every outfield player at one time, and it was one of these games where you had to try and slowly try and break down each team, break each other down. And in fairness, both teams tried to use the kick pass when it was on, so like it wasn't as dull a defensive game as I've seen.
Yeah, I was afraid that it probably was going to end up 11-9 or something out there. But no, Martin is right. He perfectly described it. I know you're sitting looking at maybe like for the Sunday game and you're thinking, like, what a game throughout. But it actually wasn't. The first half was very sort of dull. And it was just purely because Down were literally retreating, just leaving their men and just running straight back inside their 45. And, you know, that just leads to slow games, a lot of fist passing side to side. And there's never a contest, so therefore the crowd never gets engaged. There's no real excitement in it. But, like, there was a huge crowd there. And, like, it was brilliant just, like, parking up in the middle of Neary City and then everyone's walking towards it. Roads were packed. Brilliant atmosphere on the ground. And literally as soon as the ball was thrown in, it just died to death. But thankfully, you know, as the game wore on and, you know, it literally was a couple of long foot passes where it led to goals. Like, that's where the excitement really come from it, you know. And it wasn't even, you know, like, it was boys doing stuff that they're probably told not to do at all. Like, it's bad enough sometimes teams don't want you to kick a ball, you know, where it's even a risk if it's a pass to a man, but don't kick and hope, whatever you do. And literally that's where the goals was coming from. But the drama started to kick in then. But definitely from probably 40, 45 minutes on, I suppose the quality of the score taken, there was more foot passing then, and there was more turnovers. And then they say the goals started to come and the crowd really started to get into it. I did sort of fear for Armagh. See, once they went 5 points out, I was standing with just a couple of friends from the club, and I was there at the Clare game, and I just said, you know what, I'm nervous of this, because you could see Armagh starting to drop away back, you could see them starting trying to keep ball, and so it was be cute with what they were doing, but we were just leaving ourselves open that one goal was going to leave us under serious pressure, and that's the way it panned out.
Yeah. McKernan gave Harrison Cannon a lovely ball in the first half and he scored a point. You know, Mernan got one off a long ball. Forker gave Jamie Clark a beautiful ball in the first half and Clark didn't go shoot for goals, and by the time he'd filtered it back out, it was straight back out to where Forker had given it to him. But that was the frustration of, I don't think, if Armagh are retreating back, or if Down are retreating back inside the 45, you know, like, I mean, it's really difficult to break that down.
But isn't it like there were some amazing kick passes at times, but remember Keane Ward a couple of weeks ago was talking about these goal chances and point chances to come with just balls going in. So like McKernan, and yeah, you're right, Jamie Clark played a couple of lovely passes in particular, but it was like just the balls going in that caused panic. Like, you know, I think Down got three goals from just balls going into the area. I think Blaine Hughes might have been suspect for, I know Jared Fogburn's getting the blame for one of them, but again, I was looking at Hughes for coming out, you know, I guess, leave one on the line and let one come at the ball. Like, you know, everywhere else in the pitch it's one up, one down, but it seems to be goalkeepers go up with the fullback all the time. Him and Donaghy got cross wires for the first goal, and then the O'Hare goal, a big ball went in, it broke, and they managed to sort of get the grips of it and pass it to O'Hare and goal. It was just
get it
ball
into the
going
danger
in.
Area,
like,
yeah,
I would love to see the stats. The next game I'm at, I'm going to just take stats of how much points you actually lose from losing the ball by kicking it in, and then how much you actually gain from just kicking it in.
Yeah, no, that would be... Paul, go on, Aaron.
Paul McGrain just used to always have a great saying while I was in the Armagh panel, and he used to say, the worst ball you'd give a forward is no ball. And he would just say, just get it into the mixer. That was just his thing, just get it into the mixer. And you know, if you just think back to him, how many times you see him in the middle of the field on the sideline, and that nice big raking diagonal pass into our forward line. And in fairness, like, we have those men in Armagh at the moment that can sort of link up and create great partnerships themselves, whether it is Rain O'Neill and Jamie feeding off him, or whether Andrew Mernan, I know he's just coming back from injury, but those type of players are there. I do get that with, you know, there's only so much you can do depending on how the other team is set up, and football, you know, is more tactical than that now. But like, literally, you know, the amount of goals or simple points, even though there was a real good ball played straight through to Andrew Mernan whenever he just come on the field, he just led out straight in front of the D, about 25 yards out, won it in his chest, and just hooked it over his shoulder, over the bar. And it was just a basic 40-metre foot pass. Down had men running back. But it was the pass was executed really well. Andrew wanted the ball, and he knew what he was going to do. He was on the turn straight away over the bar. So he didn't want contact. He didn't look for an extra pass. He just got it straight over the bar. And literally then Paddy Talley got Conor Capolin back on the field because he knew, right, they're going to start going direct to these boys here, or into Andrew Martin. And you see, it just, the more contest there is, the more excitement and the more, you know, the crowd get involved. But I have to say, like, walking back to the car, I was literally, it was probably the first time in a long game in an Armagh game, I literally was nearly exhausted myself, because you were going through a roller coaster of emotions where you thought, brilliant, we've seen this out, you know, we're going to win this game, to hanging on for dear life. Then thinking 3 points down an extra time, I couldn't see us coming back to win it. And then literally the way we kicked on. No, definitely it was a very absorbing contest, and the stadium in Down always leads to a good atmosphere, so that definitely helps it today.
Yeah. In fairness, Armagh showed huge character, because if I didn't know the result watching that game, I'd say they're completely gone in extra time. They'd lost their heads towards the end of the normal time. Down had gone 3-0. I didn't see any way back for them. And, like, I mean, Armagh aren't great at breaking down defensive systems. Like, I mean, I take the point that the long ball works at times, but you can't base your attack against the defensive system on that, because you're at nothing. I thought only James Morgan injected a bit of pace into their moves and was able to break through a line and stuff. I don't think they're great at breaking lines, Conan.
No, I'll say one.
Oh no, like, I think you're absolutely right, and I think, remember, they were going all right in the league, and Donegal set up camp against them then and just sort of managed to keep them at arm's length a bit more. And Armagh, I think They're good at sort of trying to sort of pierce holes to a point, but then they're like every team then, you don't want to lose the ball around that 45 metre line, so unless you're kicking it in, you're not really penetrating, and it's just like you're taught so much. I don't know what McGeaney's like, but, you know, certainly at club level, it's just don't go into contact, don't risk losing the ball around the 45 metre line, because that is the cardinal sin, and that's probably what's lending itself to teams still being so scared of, like, mass defences.
Yeah, what do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, to me, looking from the outside, you know, in terms of, I don't really talk there across ways. I just leave them at it and let them focus on their county foot. But it just looks like we've sort of think too much about other teams and what they're going to do. And I do feel I need to start focusing a bit more, because this is happening every year where it just looks like we've really focused an awful lot on the opposition. I think, you know, there are teams where boys just need to have a go. I know, like, you can say you can't lose possession, you can't run into this area, you can't shoot from this area. This is championship football. This is what your whole length of county career is based around, you know, and you need to take risks. You need to have a go at times. Like, I would far rather see somebody trying to get a ball in long, have taken a risk. Like that long pass that went into Jamie, that there was three men scrambling to get back at him. Now, I'd say if you asked Jamie today, I'd say he just regrets not letting fly as soon as it landed in his hands, because he probably, again, didn't know where he was. He literally, he was about 8 or 9 yards out. Not the greatest of angles, but Jamie would have went for a goal there, and I'd say he definitely regrets it. But there was risk in that pass, because I'd say he probably Aidan Faulkner. It was a brilliantly weighted pass. I'd say he kicked it over 12 down men, you know, but there was a risk to it. But that would have been a brilliant reward had Jamie have just let fly straight away. So, and again, the Rain O'Neill one, you could say he's been marked from in front here, maybe the keeper come out behind him, don't risk it, just let the ball in, because you never know what's going to happen. Like, I'd far rather see Down having to build from their own end line, you know, than standing going sideways and getting nowhere really around midfield or the 45, because it's championship football, and it's all about winning, and the only way you're going to do that is put more scores on the board. And that's sort of been the mindset that I've always been brought up in, and that would definitely be my thinking in it there.
Yeah, because some of the scores Armagh got were exceptional points. Yeah. Like, Jamie Clark's 2 points were exceptional. Rian O'Neill kicked some exceptional ones. His first one from a set move from the throw-in, which was outstanding. We might talk about that in a second. That was outstanding. I would have liked to have seen, if it was a set move, him running across Rafferty rather than to the corner and kicking a Hail Mary.
Kennedy got a great one as well, then the right wing.
He got a brilliant one. And then Stephen Campbell's second point the degree of difficulty in that point, running away from goal and hook it back around from a tight angle. This is the point I'm making. They didn't get through for many tap over points. All the points they got, Conan, were almost exceptional, which you can't depend on that. Now, they won't play another team that has gone, those tactics from down are a little bit kind of 3 years ago, you know, so they did have to contend with a lot.
Yeah, it's a bit of, I don't know, a sort of a groovy and a don't as well, because what Aaron's saying there about, you know, letting fly his championship, and we're always hearing about, we're talking about these Armagh forwards every week, like, you know, maybe they are up to that standard. I think the difference was Jamie Clark won a ball just after the Mernon goal, and he had two men around him. He didn't let fly. He popped it to Ryan O'Neill, who was in a worse position, and he let fly, hit it wide, but it was like somebody who's just not bogged down yet by, like, you know, what you have to do right and what you have, like, what you don't have to do, you know. But like, so maybe when they get a chance, they can just put it over. But I did hear Martin McHugh saying commentary, like, and I hate hearing it. It's the worst thing you can hear. But when a team's set up defensively, you're going to need to score long range points. It's like, has anybody ever won a game by doing that? Armagh did win a game by scoring some lovely points, but they didn't win by scoring from beyond the 45. You can't do that.
No.
So
no,
maybe it is a worry, like, yeah, going forward.
Well, what's the story with Down, Aaron, watching him in the flesh? Because we know they packed a huge amount of numbers in defence, but they also got a lot of numbers up in attack. They almost played like a basketball team where the whole team defended, and then the whole team kind of slowly built up, you know, and were back up in attack. And then when the play would develop a little while, they weren't afraid to give in to Harrison the odd time. I think they underused him, because when they did use him, he was able to win it. Are these defensive tactics moved on a little bit now, where you're all 14 are going back, and then all 14 moving back up, like almost like basketball?
Yeah, like that, you did perfectly describe them. That's literally left their man. Like, you could have been standing, a down man could have been standing beside the Armagh player, and instead of engaging him, he just left him, started running back, which, you know, I have no time for that. No. I hate it. Like, but I'd say maybe Paddy Talley, you know, maybe didn't get promoted from the league, and there's a bit of pressure, and he had a few injuries and a lot of new fresh faces and whatever. But I still think, you know, he could have been more offensive. You're right, they did build very slowly then as they were coming back up. They were very patient around the full, or the 45-metre line. But you're 100% right in that. Do you see, once they did actually get two men in front of goal, the amount of times that pass was actually on, a foot pass in the 45, but they didn't take it often enough. Brendan Donaghy was sitting back. He was there centre-half back. So you can see he was a sweeper. He was just playing as a position. He was trying to read the game. But I have to say, Conor Harrison, he was on so many times where they could have got a long diagonal ball that would have put us under a lot of pressure. And I'd say whenever they look back at it, that is something that they'll regret. And it's definitely something that an area that they can improve on, because particularly the likes of him and Donal O'Hare, if they had got a better link, and maybe that's just because they haven't been working on it enough, that it probably wasn't in the mindset of the players. But they definitely got two men inside the big box. Their movement, you could say, maybe wasn't great. And then in terms of having vision from further out the field to just put a ball in, those boys didn't have it. But it definitely is an area that they have the personnel that could trouble you more, regardless of whether they drop back or regardless of whether they attack slowly. The opportunity was still on to put more diagonal ball in that would have left our full back lane scrambling.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because turnovers are obviously a thing of the past. You can't live off them as much as teams used to. So now Paddy Talley's obviously evolved it to defending with that many numbers, and then when you win the ball, build it up so slowly that you get your forwards back into position, and then maybe, you know, it looks like you have enough numbers up there. But come here, talking of Brendan Donaghy, he was madly at fault for Down's first goal, Pat Haveran's goal, because that was just, he was on the edge of the small square when that was thrown inside to Haveran, and he never came out to engage him at all. He just stayed in the middle of the small square. Do you remember that, Aaron? It wasn't very instinctive of a good defender anyways, because he just gave him a free shot at goals and he buried it into the bottom corner.
Haveran's goal was the long one in the first half where he just got to flick in and Blaine Hughes come off his line for it.
Oh, that was that one. What was the other one?
The Donal O'Hare one then is where, yeah, in that instance, I think there was just poor communication. I'm not sure whether James Morgan was supposed to be on Donal O'Hare, and then he goes to try and double-team Corey Quinn. And next thing, Corey gets a quick hand pass into Donal O'Hare, but definitely Brandy will be very disappointed, because he's a really experienced player. He know himself, like, he should have got straight out on Donal O'Hare. Once James committed to trying to double up on Corey Quinn, it was then Brendan's job. The only dangerous man on the field at that stage was Donal O'Hare. Brandy definitely should have got across to him and should have just even got him slowed up, that it was a matter of him just having to turn and pop the ball back out, potentially give away a point, but definitely don't give away a goal at that stage. That is a key area that it's easily improved. It's something that, like, Geezer won't even need to say that there to Brendan. He'll realise that there himself. But it gives down a life lane, and just the crowd really got behind them then at that stage. And you knew it was going to be a sort of scramble for the last couple of minutes for Armagh to hang on after.
Yeah, and was it Donaghy then was the spare man all the time when Caelan Mooney got sent off? Because I saw, like, the Armagh's use of the spare man, it didn't look to me like maybe Mark Shields was the right man to be put as the spare man. I'm not sure, it's hard to tell on TV.
Yeah, so just literally as soon as the two teams lined up, Brendy just stood centre half back by himself. He was obviously going to be the designated extra player. He was going to hold the centre. That is his role. That's what he does. Generally, anyway. So it gives us the man that we wanted to be free. But in fairness, even at half time, Mooney was sent off. If ever there was a good time to get someone sent off, that was it, because at least they give the down management time to sort of construct what they were going to do, and then to get the message across. And to be fair to them, they sort of coped fairly well with it. And the style of play that we're playing, they're never going to hugely miss one player because we're just getting so many men back. But I have to say, the two men that they probably didn't want it to happen to would have been Caelan Mooney, and I have to say Conor Poland, a younger brother of Mark, the former down centre half forward. Two of them were excellent. Causes a lot of trouble, you know. Once the slow build-up got just into the Armagh half, it was them who were coming at pace, breaking the tackle to get inside their 45-meter line. So he definitely was a huge loss to them. But like I said, it afforded us. Brendy was never going to be the sort of person who was going to be bombing up the field as the extra man to get on the end of things. But I think it was more just to make sure that we were stable at the back. That would have been Geezer's thinking and leaving him where he was.
Yeah, no, it's like the conservative way. But I take your point. If Downer retreating anyways, using your spare man isn't massive. Do you know what I mean? If there's only Mark. The down kickouts, Conan, this was a tale of two goalkeepers. So Rory Burns tapped them all short, immediately took the return. Yeah. Like the cornerback or whoever got it just straight away through back to them, and then they went headed on running up back into their forward position. So it was weird. They retreated off their men when they were defending, and then they just kind of ran on up in front of the ball as the goalkeeper brought it out as the spare man. It was just kind of, we discussed last summer that this was kind of coming into the game, didn't we? But I thought it was the right way to play against Dublin, actually. I remember saying that you defend with everyone but attack with everyone, but I thought Talley, that seemed to be definitely what he was doing. But Rory Burns obviously went off to a deserved black card, and it was the second goalkeeper that came on, Hines. And he was kicking him along to midfield. He obviously didn't have any confidence, and that's not where they needed to go.
I think one time he did what Burns was doing. He kicked it short and then got the return. But then he popped straight back to the man who gave him, you know, the ball from the return. So it was like, no, they got nowhere further up the pitch. So it was very slow. And I think sometimes the crowd get to know when somebody's nervous, especially a goalkeeper. And they were starting to get on his back a little bit, you know, and sort of putting him under pressure to kick it quicker. And he was just hoofing it up into the air, sort of. It was hanging. It was wide, in fairness to him, but it was just hanging in the air for everybody to contest. And Down won some ball, Armagh won some ball, and it just felt like Down were under pressure since he came on then. Like, Burns was a bit silly. Yeah. He could have just popped it off.
Burns. I sort of laughed at myself a bit with that time of cutting across the corner, because I just remember reading about 3 or 4 weeks ago at the end of the National League in the Irish News, Down had two other goalkeepers in the panel, that one left during the National League, and then the second sub goalkeeper left at the end of it because he basically said, I know I'm not going to get any championship game time, and then I'm not playing for my club, so I'm gone. So this is a young guy called Mark Haynes from Kerry Duffy, who's just coming into the panel. So he hadn't even been there for the league. He'd never played county before, and there you go, he's getting thrown in. Yeah. So I think you can understand maybe why he was a bit nervous and a bit edgy, because, you know, you're on your own there, and especially it's just magnified whenever a goalkeeper gets a black card for tripping a man outside the 50, and next thing the crowd's all starting to cheer him, and then you're the lonely goalkeeper coming on and you're hitting the kick out. Like, Ryan then hit an unbelievable score from Burns' trip from outside the 45, put it over the bar, and then next thing all eyes is on a debutant goalkeeper coming on to kick his first ball for his county.
Yeah, maybe Tally even told the young fella here, listen, just get it out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Don't try to do. He could have been a bag of nerves in the dressing room. We don't know.
And he didn't do too well for the goal either. I don't think that he sold himself. He went down, which Shields gave him a really nice dummy, in fairness.
Lovely sidestep that. And that's not easy to do with that speed. Completely changed direction.
Fantastic sidestep. I think the keeper made it a bit easier by just going to the ground and committing to it rather than letting Shields make the decision.
Yeah, okay. Well, last thing here, there's loads of things to talk about. Free taken, very poor from an Armagh point of view, Aaron. Rafferty, Grugan and Rian missed some. Maybe he went for more difficult ones he shouldn't have gone, that made his stats look worse than they should have been.
Well, definitely the first one he went from off the ground, the sideline, like being a club man and seeing him coming up. I have seen, like, he will kick them for us. He didn't get a clean strike in it at all. But knowing him as I do, like, he'll be very disappointed. He had, it was sort of an easier one, 25 metres out. It was on the sideline, or close to the sideline. He missed it. And he missed one off his left foot just before that, where he maybe had a bit more time to come back on his right foot. But, you know, it just showed the sort of mentality of him, because in the second half, in fairness, that one outside the 45, and then he had another really difficult one from right along the sideline, over underneath the stand that he put over the bar. So it wouldn't really matter. He's just such a good striker of the ball. It would be irrelevant nearly where it was within 50, 55 metres for him. He'd just be disappointed that he didn't execute them properly. And likewise, Rory missed a simple enough one, straight in front of the goals, that, you know, he would score them all day long. So I'd say they'll just be disappointed with their own execution. I don't think it was that they were particularly hard frees for them. It just was bad execution on the day.
All right, OK. Right, well, we get move on to Cavan and Monaghan now, lads. Cavan won this by 4 points. I don't want to break it down so basic, lads, but this is almost like, it's almost like hurling analysis that I used to give out about. Cavan were up for it and Monaghan weren't up for it. Like, it seemed to be Cavan just first to every ball, chasing lads down. Monaghan, I couldn't believe how easily Cavan. I think there was one clip of Martin Riley, who was absolutely outstanding. It was the beautiful ball he gave down to Madden for a point. And he just skipped past Carol O'Connell like he was it. The effort Carol O'Connell made now, he just sidestepped in the field, and Carol O'Connell with it. He roasted Carol O'Connell. Monaghan were just off it, Aaron, and it's hard to understand why. Maybe the favours tag doesn't suit them. It's happened against Fermanagh, it's happened against Down in recent years. But it was a serious flatness to their play.
Yeah, I have to fully agree with you. That's really all I can put it down to. I felt sort of in the build-up to this, there was a nervousness in what the Monaghan people and the Monaghan players were saying, you know, where I felt that, you know, they're a better team than Cavan. You know, they're operating in Division 1 on a consistent basis. They were in all-out semi-final last year. But, you know, you would have thought that would give them a load of confidence. But I just felt there was an edginess. The whole thing was like, you know, we're going into the Breffni Park and the tradition of the old rivalry between them. That's the sort of stuff that they were saying. And I don't know where that was in their psyche. But if I was them, given, you know, where they've been for this past 8 or 9 years and the levels they've been operating on, they needed to be more sort of cocky or assure themselves. Yeah. But I definitely think there's an issue with that group of players whenever they're favourites, because you put them at an underdog tag, you put them up against a supposed bigger team, and the hunger, the work rate from them is just, you know, it's inspiring for the majority of counties around the country. But put them as favourites, there's just something that they don't seem to be able to cope with it. Like you said, they're operating at a higher level for a longer period than Cavan. They didn't play with that confidence or sort of that belief. It didn't come across to me anyway. But the same thing happened. I felt they changed too much last year to try and suit Fermanagh's sort of defensive tactics, where again, they should have been saying, hold on a second, we're operating in Division 1. Yeah. You know, we've won Ulster titles in recent years. We have marquee forwards. Let's just go out and beat them regardless of what they're going to do. So it definitely seems to be something in the psyche of them that they're not coping well, and or maybe they're focusing too much on what other teams are going to do, you know, instead of focusing more on themselves. But absolutely, from the start, there was one team dictating that. And you say, it was extraordinary how flat Monaghan were, because it's just not what we come to expect from that group.
No, it's not. And like, I mean, then you hear in the second half, it's hard to tell exactly on television with sweepers and things because the game's so fluid. But like from reading match reports from people that were there, that Monaghan abandoned their sweeper then at the start of the second half and pushed up and didn't allow Cavan take the short kickouts. I'm just thinking, your favourite's going into a game. Why can't that be the tactic from the bloody start? Yeah. I can't. That's that conservative tactics that Malachy O'Rourke, and Aaron's right against Fermanagh. He's a conservative manager at heart, and he can't get out of that. And he wants to see what it's like in the first half and then go for it. Instead of going, we're a Division 1 team, we're going pushing up, we're going to try and go man for man all over the field, and when we go man for man, we've better forwards. And that was the analysis kind of last Thursday. We thought Monaghan would sneak a close game because they'd better forwards. Like, I mean, why would you wait till the second half until you're 8 points down to start changing your and to start going for the game and pushing up?
Yeah, but in fairness to Malachy, like, it probably is a mentality as well. Like, some of the play, especially in the first half, the difference between Cavan and Monaghan, when Monaghan were going forward, they weren't incisive. They weren't trying to get through. The runs weren't aggressive enough.
Yeah,
you know, they were passing the ball. It was riddled with mistakes. They were hoping McManus would pull them out of a hole. So they were sort of waiting for him all the time. And I know that's obviously a good tactic, but Cavan were smart. Cavan were jumping in and trying to foul boys or anything. They stood up and they sort of let Monaghan make the decision. And Monaghan weren't aggressive enough. And I think that's a mentality. And I think regardless of a sweeper or whatever else, like, there's nothing O'Rourke can really do about that if they're not up to the pitch like Cavan are. I mean, yeah, like Conor Brady's the first point for Cavan. Like, just bang, 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 these quick hands, and everybody sort of getting ahead of the ball and trying to make something happen. Whereas that wasn't happening with Monaghan.
No, it absolutely wasn't. It was weird. And like, you keep just trying to think of tactical reasons, and there's not really. It's just Cavan just were at that pitch of that championship game, and Monaghan weren't. In fairness to Cavan, tactically, they brought Thomas Galligan out to midfield, and Darren McVitie spent a lot of time at the full forward line. Gerard McKiernan didn't spend too much time at midfield. It was like he was playing centre forward, Aaron. So, like, I mean, and then Galligan went back in the second half. So they were keeping Monaghan guessing all the time. He impressed me, Galligan. He's well able to battle in around the midfield. And obviously Brady, who made his debut, looked at home there as well.
Yeah, I actually know Thomas Galligan very well because sort of with a good underage team there that Rian O'Neill would have been on, and his brother Oisin and that. And they've come up against Thomas's club side, lost to them after a replay in an Ulster minor championship, and then they actually beat us again in the Ulster 21 club championship. So I have seen a bit of him this past few years. Very, very big man, first of all, for a young lad, but very aggressive and good skills, game as hell. You know, so he does give them an option and give them a very physical presence. And usually, like, he's a completely different style of player than what Darren McVitie is, you know, and to rotate them around. You also have McKernan coming off the shoulder, like, for such a huge man that everyone on the ground can see. He seemed to ghost in the open space on either side of the D and get a shot off right or left foot continuously. And that just is his game. You know, it's a credit to him that he can sort of sneak into those positions. But like, he was massively effective. And I have to say, I did a bit of work at the Mayo and Cavan game in the league. And defensively, they were very good, particularly Paul Faulkner had an outstanding game that night.
Yeah.
It was their forward play. I didn't feel they were ever going to get enough. Like, Mayo was never going to shoot the lights out, but I just didn't feel Cavan was going to get enough scores to win that game. But at that stage, Nicky Graham was really occupied with Mullinocta, and his head would have been all over the place. He would have just sort of been getting the grips with the Cavan job. But definitely on Saturday evening, like, I know they've even beaten Armagh in the championship in recent times, but like, that was the most organised that I have seen them in I don't know how long, and the most sort of composed and assured that I've ever seen a Cavan team. And, you know, I'm sure an awful lot of that has to be laying at his door. I would say one thing that probably slipped under the radar, and it was a bit weird looking at it, like, every time the camera panned to Mickey Graham in the sideline, the man he was talking to was Martin Corrie, who's actually Vinnie Corrie, the Monaghan defender. He's his twin brother. So he's in as a selector and a coach with Cavan. So there was no one was going to know the Monaghan panel or Monaghan players any better than himself. He's obviously a club man of Conor McManus and Conor Boyle and those boys. So I'm sure he would have been really helpful and really insightful in giving knowledge to Mickey Graham and helping him get the inside track. So maybe that one smart move by Mickey Graham might have had paid off with a win for him the other night.
Yeah, I wonder, did he give him the job after the draw was made, or was he in before that?
Stand around and wait and see who we get the
first finish now.
I need to get a coach from that county, and then maybe I'll mix it up after that. So that's it. Like, I mean, Cavan can be very proud of their performance. They were excellent, Conan, and like, I mean, you couldn't ask any more from them. We worried about their forwards as well, but I thought Madden was excellent. I thought McVitie battled away pretty well. Martin O'Reilly, we'll talk about him in performance the weekend. He was outstanding, and I'm glad we flagged him up last week, because he has been an outstanding creative, brilliant passer, and he's a solid engine as well. And when they could afford then to put Gerard McKernan up front, do you know what I mean? They had that little bit more oomph about them.
Yeah, and look, I don't want to keep boiling it back down to mentality and stuff, but they all just worked harder, like, you know. And I think they had 9 scores in the whole game, and which a lot of teams could rack that up, but when you're only scoring 113, that shows how many different people were contributing to the scoring. And maybe it's a bad thing in the long run. You probably do need that sort of, you know, star forward if you want to go further in the championship. But Martin Riley obviously did offer a little bit of stardust in some of the passes he was pinging, but they were only available because most people in the team were trying to make something happen,
yeah,
which is a rare thing. And that's probably, again, great credit to the management team, the fact that you can get everybody into that way of thinking that I can be the one who gets on the end of the score here.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like, I mean, when you have when you have a player like Forker and you have a player like Martin Riley who are very good off the outside of the boot, like, you can run towards the ball and then double back, you know what I mean? And he might pick that ball over the top. It just opens up your options, Aaron, for so many different runs. If you know, number one, you know a fella when he's on the ball, this lad's going to kick it. So then you know you're going to be rewarded for your run. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Rather than, Jesus, there's no point making a run here now. Like, it's good to have those fellas on the team.
Yeah, that's all that is just being switched on to knowing the strengths of your teammates. You know, and like, I know the ball you're talking about, particularly that you played into Conor Madden, where he come up along the terrace side, skipped inside one of the Monaghan players and had a lovely pass in. Probably Madden, similar to what Jamie Clarkson, if coming in the same angle, could have had a goal as well. But yeah, terrific pass into him. But yeah, it's just reading your players and knowing who your kickers are. If you can see the player building, that it's someone you know is more inclined to foot pass, it's only a matter of you being switched on to that, taking your defender maybe 5 or 10 yards in a direction that you know you're cutting back in, that you're after leaving maybe a 20-yard space for yourself to break back into to win easy possession and get a score. But definitely Martin Riley is one of the key men who's going to be the linchpin between your defence and your attack to allow you have a kicking game. And like, those players this day and age, like, they're vital. Like, you know, really every team you sort of need probably 2 or 3 of them that are operating around in your middle third, who are willing to take that risk and have the vision and the ability, I suppose, to execute the pass once it comes off. But definitely he's a player now that Armagh are really going to have to clamp down on, because so much good of what Cavan done has gone through him, and it's been the same for years.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll come back with Paddy Power performance of the weekend. Come here, I want you to talk us through the goal you scored in the county final after 15 seconds. I want you to tell me when you had goal on your mind.
Yeah, you've probably had a few 15 seconds experiences yourself. Break me off, show me what you got,
because I don't want no one-minute man. Okay, Paddy Power performance of the weekend. First nomination for Paddy Power performance of the weekend, and we haven't actually mentioned him yet, is Jarley Og Burns. What a bloody player this fella is. Aaron, I'll go to you first. What an engine and great pace. Won 3 of the 4 throw-ins. Should have had a free at the end where he was just pushed out over the sideline, which, you know, would have been a very important point of the game. And just was all over the field for a young fella to take on that much responsibility. I thought he was very impressive.
Yeah, he was just game as hell. Just the only thing you probably left out, he has an absolute ferocious leap. He's one of these guys who, once he goes up, he sort of hangs there and he can nearly go again. Just terrific leap in him. You said that in this day and age, to win 3 out of 4 throw-ups, it's sort of nearly unheard of. You know, that's his whole game. He's probably a bit like his father, where he loved catching ball. And I suppose he'd be disappointed that he didn't hold on to the ball where they got the last goal from. But you could just see the enthusiasm that he just wanted. He just come flying across the square, you know, recklessly just trying to get his hands on the ball. But he's really come from... He actually played very little football. And he played really well for St Mary's. He'd obviously had been in with the county panel from pre-season, wasn't seeing much game time, but done really well for St Mary's. They ended up getting to the Sigerton final, and then it was actually the suspension of Stephen Sheridan where he got in and he got started against Fermanagh in the league here and Cross in the second last league game. And I have to say, he was very good that day, and he sort of held his place since then. But he just, I've heard, just, you know, his local club, Silver Ridge, is only out the road from us. And I know from seeing some of the Silver Ridge people around town and that there, that they just said the confidence that he took into just club league games throughout April, they felt that he was just a different player compared to what he's been this past few years. Like, he's still really young. Like, he was in the Ironman under 20 panel last year. So he's just 20, going on 21. But they just felt that he's really physically developed this year, but more so just his confidence and his self-belief they felt had really grown, and that you could see that in even the club football, that he was just head and shoulders above even the player that he would have been last year. So from our perspective, that's brilliant, because yesterday is only going to bring him on.
Yeah, and is he a player that's been coming up through the ranks and you saying, geez, here we have a dominating midfielder for a lot of years, or the way you're talking there, it's like you're a little bit surprised that he's nailed down that position?
No, definitely he was one who always had the potential to make the breakthrough. So I would have known him coming through from minor and the under 20 and 21 panels this past few years. So he definitely was someone who you knew had the ability to go on and be a senior footballer, and obviously he has a bit of pedigree with the surname that he has. So
yeah.
It probably was just a matter he needed to just get his chance. You know, and it was really breaking in that the past few years you've had Stephen Sheridan and Niall Grimby, who have sort of made the midfield partnership their own. But this year, Niall Grimby broke his hand in a league game in April for his club. Stephen Sheridan had picked up the suspension during the league. So that opened the door for him, and I suppose just off the back of a good Sigerton campaign, his confidence was up, he was getting plenty of football, and thankfully he's brought it through. So, you know, he's now made himself a target, but I think that's a tag that he'd be able to carry. You know, whenever a game's on the line and you're a debutant and it's a local derby and the atmosphere, it's very easy, I suppose, to be conservative and go into your shell. But yesterday, he wanted to make the big catch. He was making the tackles. He was bombing up the field. You know, he was aggressively trying to break through tackles. So, you know, that's priceless this day and age. And like I say, I think he'd be waking up today mad for more buzz and more big days he got there. And a bright future has hopefully started for Armand and for Jardy Oak.
Very good. And I actually think Sheridan and Grimley, and like, well, they're good players. They're not... Maybe when you have a midfield of Sheridan and Grimley, you're not winning an Ulster Championship for 4 years. Maybe. I don't think they're at that top level. I don't know. I think that's what Armagh are missing. Charlie Vernon plays out there sometimes. I don't know. I think that he could be their number eight guaranteed, and who partners him. And I think Armagh kind of need that. Should he have had a mark at the very end? Did he catch a ball, or did he let that drop out of his hands? He wasn't given a mark. I'm trying to. Do you remember that?
That was the one thing. It was Ben Creeley where it came out, but I think he just had fumbled it, which is why I don't think they got
right,
the mark.
Right, because it bounced back up into his hand then. Because when he had it on the when he fell down the ground, he had it in his hand. It must have came out and bounced back up into his hands.
He just didn't catch it cleanly. But just going back to that there point, I have to say, Niall Grimley, like, I know it's club football, but in our club championship last year, like, he was head and shoulders the best footballer we come up against. He's a terrific fielder of the ball, super athlete. And I think, you know, that's a partnership that could be worked with him. Like, he's a really big man, very rangy type player. So he is a super footballer and will develop into being a top intercounty player. So I think Jarley Oak just coming through just puts the pressure on other players, gives us more options. They could turn out to be a good midfielder. Niall Grimley was tugged out yesterday, but just wasn't put on. Like, say, he picked up a fracture in his hand in the last club league games that they're allowed to play, but he'll be back in the mix for the next game, as will Andrew Murnan, as will Oisin O'Neill, who's come back and played a few league games for ourselves. So definitely we have more options around the middle of the field to try and help Jarley Oak.
Yeah, no, we know Niall Grimley is absolutely brilliant going forward. Rian O'Neill, first time I saw Rian O'Neill was in a club game last year. It was the televised
Guido
one. He got
against,
sent off against Guido. And I just remember thinking, this lad's a Rolls Royce of a player. He's got everything. He's got absolutely everything. And he has, Aaron. Like, how good are we talking here? Because he looks to have every trick in the book. Like, I mean, he has Kieran MacDonald-esque passes off the outside of his boot. He can kick off left and right. He's a big man. He has a bit of divilment in him. Like, he doesn't stand back. You know what I mean? He looks like he's ticking all the boxes for his age.
I'm very conscious that I don't want to hype up somebody too much after one game and maybe you can make them out to be something that they're not. Rian O'Neill comes from a family of pedigree. His dad played for Armagh, played for Louth and Leinster. His mum is Osha McConville's sister. There's four of them in the family and they just live and breathe Gaelic football. But Rian O'Neill is the business. He is the real deal. I've seen him from he was under eight upwards and there's nothing he can't do. Right, like you said, right or left foot, handling, temperament, and you say he's aggressive, you know, for a forward, you know, whenever he hits, it hurts. but the one thing, like, he's the first player on the field at training and he's the last player off the field every night. You don't need to say a thing to him. Literally, he's 20 now. I'm the club captain this past 2 years and he's their vice captain. But like he doesn't talk. He doesn't talk in the change room. Says very little on the field. But there's just an aggression to get ball, to shoot, to win in him that is infectious. We have a good crop of young boys coming through in our club, but he is the pipe piper of them. There's nothing that the GAA world will be his oyster over the next 10 years. A terrific temperament. I would genuinely say he wasn't even nervous at all yesterday. He just craves the big day. Now he has set a big target for himself. His uncle Oisin just ironically scored 8 points in his championship debut in 1998 in Omagh, a game that unfortunately Armagh lost and went on to have a great career. But he will definitely be a marked man. He'll not have the same time or space the next day, but he's a terrific player. And you know, we're just very grateful that he's crossed the Glen and he's Armagh, but definitely a bright future ahead and just someone who's really easy on the eye to watch, can do the spectacular in terms of passing and scoring, and really he was the difference between us winning and losing that game yesterday.
Getting goosebumps here, Colin.
Yeah, but it is the way he carries himself, isn't it? There was never a moment like where he was thinking, "Jesus, my big chance today." It was always about bloody time. I'm here and I get to show you what I can do. He just has that. It's not arrogance. It's just like confidence and as Aaron says, the passing and the scoring. I don't even know. You'd rather have him centre half forward or full forward. You need him in both places already after one.
With Mernon there now, he has to be 11 with that range of kick passing, and with Mernon inside, that's a very dangerous combination.
There was one I remember in the league where they had the offensive mark, the Willie mark, they had that in, and it was against Donegal. He won a free back in his own half and just pings his outside a little bit past straight up to Jamie Clark, who catches it just inside the 45 and it's a free, out of nothing, and he's just pinged this past the length of the pitch.
Yeah,
it's what he got.
He's top class.
Whenever the game looked like it was going away from them, obviously been there as a spectator, there was a few times where lads, Stephen Campbell took on a shot, I think the shot was on, but Rian was going mad. He wanted that ball back. He'd won a free, given it to Stefan. He wanted it back again. You know, I could see him then taking himself to the middle of the field and just screaming at Blaine Hughes to get the ball towards me. He wanted to be on the ball as much and as often. And you sort of summed it up, right, Conan? It's not an arrogant thing on him. He wants to prove himself. He wants to be on the big stage. He wants to play a big game. And, he's born for it. The only thing is, if you talk to his younger brother who's on the 14s, he might tell you he's not even the best player in his house. But there's a good fleet of them coming through, which is, like you say, it's terrific for Cross and Armagh.
Where does the younger brother under 14 play?
He'd probably end up in an inside forward. And then he's 14, they've another young, that's Aaron's 14, Dara's on the 16, and then you've Oisin, who's just a year older than Rian, he's the senior panel, and he'll be back available. So there was no chance they were going to be at it, and other than Gaelic footballers, given the background that they're coming from. So, we'll see a few more of them in years to come. I've no doubt of that as well.
Yeah, you should be sponsoring that family to have more children. We're getting all Ireland.
The Garandora might say they're right up at this.
Okay, so Liam Silk scored 1-2 from play. Obviously in the modern game, lads, you're playing cornerback. It's like the Philly McMahon effect. You don't ever have to play cornerback because Sligo, and obviously they had to, the Division 4 against Division 1, really. Sligo got beaten in every game in Division 3, so they had to drop players back behind the ball, and they made it competitive. But Silk destroyed them with 1-2 from play, so that's he's definitely one from that game that deserves a nomination. Martin Riley, we've mentioned him already, absolutely brilliant player to watch. And to think that he played wing back a little bit, what a waste of a fella that can kick passes like that. I think Colin Walsh went on Martin Riley because I think him going out of the game slightly at the start of the second half coincided with Monaghan coming back into it. He couldn't have kept that pace that he had in the first half where he was absolutely everywhere. I never saw Carl O'Connell destroyed that badly and offer nothing going forward, Aaron. Have you seen him as poor? You give all the credit to Martin Riley, obviously, for Carl O'Connell's very, very poor performance.
Yeah, he just looked like everyone else in the Mullin team, and he looked flat. And I think it was sort of summed up early enough in the first half. He'd made a great breakthrough from the terrace side, heading through on goal, and he just looked like he was two-minded. He didn't know, should I fist it over the bar, should I tap it over my foot, should I keep going and cut across and try and get a goal. They ended up, they got nothing out of it. And it just, the whole day just sort of started to seem to seep away from Monaghan. You know, they were all making those sort of, they all seemed to be hesitant. They all seemed to be waiting on something spectacular to happen. McManus to kick a one to score, a goal to come against a run of play, but it never came from him. But I suppose instead of talking about Monaghan in that regard, maybe you just have to give credit to Cavan, and that, like you said, they're the ones who are up for it, and they're the ones who are really dictating the state of play all day.
Yeah, and all the good performers, Garrod McKiernan, obviously. I wasn't sure I would have given him man of the match. Is that who got man of the match in the end? I don't think
got
he
the
was,
most points.
maybe that was it. Jason McLaughlin and Padraig Faulkner in the fullback line were outstanding as well. They give nothing away. They have good defenders, in fairness to Cavan. Like, they really do. They're big, strong, physical men, so they do. So, like, I mean, it'll be a great matchup against the Armagh forwards the next day. Has to give, we're out of time, have to give performance of the weekend to Rian O'Neill. Gets a pair of Paddy Power lucky pants, Aaron. So if you see him in the dressing room across McGlen, you can get him togged out into these lucky pants. You can give him a bit of a slagging. I don't know when he'll get them, whenever I get around to doing the admin side. I'm excited. I'm signed up to the Rian O'Neill fan club at this stage now. That's, I don't need to hear anymore. Yeah. I got goosebumps listening to Aaron talking about
it. That's classy.
Is there anything, like, it's just a young fella just bloody wants to train hard, not a big talk, or just gets out in the field and just expresses himself there.
It's not just Rian, it's the O'Neill family.
It is, like, but, you know, I'm coming in this morning, you know, and I'm excited for him. I was walking out of the ground yesterday 10 feet tall because of, and I'm flicking through the papers today, and there's not one word of him. Like, there's no interview, because I can guarantee you, they probably asked him and he just walked out of there. You know, he was the star man. He was the main person there yesterday. I texted him last night, said, what is that? He is all out in the dock for a few beers, and he's sitting at home in the house with a Chinese. Now, I have to say, that probably wasn't by choice for him. I'd say they were maybe instructed not to do it, because he's good crack once you do let him go out. But you'll see him. He'd be up in the field by himself or maybe with the younger brothers, and he'd just kicking the lace out of a ball. And, you know, that's the boys it's like, and saying he's not easy in a football because he's never done kicking them. But he lives and breathes football. And, you know, that's great. That's what everyone wants to see. That's what GAA supporters in general want to see. It's encouraging.
Fantastic. Rian O'Neill, congratulations. And Aaron, thanks very much for filling in today. And we'll be back on Thursday with a preview show as usual. We'll talk to you then. Good luck.
Yet it took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shit shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing houses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GAA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.